On page 197 of the New Testament section of the Pew Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning to read at verse 3. The responsibility of the church to widows and of widows to the church. Honour widows who are real widows. If a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn their religious duty to their own family and to make some return to their parents, for this is acceptable in the sight of God. She who is a real widow and is left all alone has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day, whereas she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command this so that they may be without reproach. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his own family, he has disowned his faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and she must be well attested for her good deeds, as one who has brought up children, shown hospitality, washed the feet of the saints, relieved the afflicted, and devoted herself to doing good in every way. But refuse to enroll young widows, for when they grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, and so they incur condemnation for having violated their first pledge. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, gadding about from house to house, not only idlers, but gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, rule their households, and give the enemy no occasion to revile us. For some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her assist them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may assist those who are real widows. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And it's very short. I'm not going to ask you to turn to it. It's the brief story about the widow and the way she put all her money into the treasury. Luke chapter 21, verse 1. He looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a poor widow put in 2 copper coins, and he said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they are all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all the living that she had." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We pray. Father, as we look at this subject of widows in the church, help us to understand that it is extremely relevant to us at All Saints and St. Richard's. We pray for your spirit to help me as I speak, and all of us as we listen, that with the summer holidays coming upon us, and after a month or two, us all returning in the autumn, we pray that these different sermons will excite us about following you. Amen. Would you please be seated? And if you'd like to turn back to the reading Anthony read a minute or two ago, 1 Timothy chapter 5, page 196, towards the end of the Bible, 196. And the passage begins at verse 3. A few minutes ago, the music group were playing and singing a song, "Take Me Deeper Into You." Now, I don't know if you're challenged in your Christian life, but I certainly am. Are we just coming week by week and listening and then forgetting and not growing? And I'm not just talking about head knowledge, I'm talking about love of Jesus Christ, because we need to go more deeply into God's word and look at it and become excited about it in our hearts, so that we feel differently tonight about widows, for example, and women in the church. I mean, over the last few weeks, can we remember the subjects that we've heard? about men in the church, about women's position in the church. We've talked about the heavy responsibility leaders take on. We've been reminded about the devil and the way he prowls around like a roaring lion, tempting us to go away from the truth of the gospel, to become liberal in our thinking. We have heard God calling us to a godly life. Have we thought about that in the weeks past, what it means to be a godly person? We've talked about training in godliness. Now, I wonder if you've thought about that. Of course, we need to be open to the Holy Spirit. But have we thought about asking the Holy Spirit for help, for training in godliness, so that we become more enthusiastic, more excited about our role in the church? And this is what Paul is doing. He's writing to Timothy about the church, about how everything fits in, how everything dovetails, so that it becomes a whole which works. So when we think tonight about widows, we're not just thinking about widows on their own, we're thinking about widows within the church, about which we've heard over the last few weeks. And we need to get excited about it, because you think about it. How many widows, how many people who have lost their husbands are there in the church? How many people are there who have been deserted by their husbands in the church? How many women are there on their own in the church? That's just for starters. Think about that. And in Paul's emphasis on widows, it's not just brand new from St. Paul. It's following a biblical trend. Zechariah 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness, here we are, use in the church, show kindness and mercy, each to his brother, and then do not oppress the widow. Same idea, except slightly in reverse. Luke 7:13. Jesus had compassion on the widow whose son had died. It was the poor widow whom, we've just heard in Luke's gospel, Jesus used as an illustration of the generosity of that widow in her poverty. So, get it in context. See that St. Paul, yes, is writing to Timothy about widows, but it follows a back trend. We've got to care about widows in the church. For a Christian fellowship dedicated to growing in godliness, and as I said, we've heard about godliness, to ignore a widow, to ignore a woman on her own, requiring emotional and financial help, is actually a contradiction in terms. We're not a proper Christian fellowship if we do that. What does Paul mean in this passage? Verse 3. Honor, that is, support widows who are, and he uses the word real widows, in the sense, verse 4, that there is no family backing. Verse 5, she is someone on her own. Verse 6, not living with a man who supports her. At Ephesus, some of the widows, when they lost their husband, turned to prostitution. That's why he uses the word real. Clearly a widow to be supported by the church should be, verse 7, without reproach, that is, not self-indulgence, because she is living with a man who is not her husband. And verse 8, we are all reminded that it is our responsibility, each individually, to support our own elderly relatives. If we don't, well, what on earth are we doing as a Christian? Because we're not doing anything that God wants us to do. Where can our faith be if we don't support our own family? We are worse than an unbeliever, in the sense that an unbeliever would support his family. The idea of enrollment of widows over the age of, verse 9, 60, was clearly a custom at Ephesus. If a widow was to be supported by the church as a real widow, why not recognize her, permitting her to join an order of widows, just like today we have orders of nuns in the church. But she needed to be someone, verse 10, attested, well known for her good deeds and from her past history, again verse 10, the right person to join. Paul's letter to Timothy is aimed at encouraging order in the church. I touched on that at the beginning of the sermon. He wants everything to work like clockwork, like a good clock, each part doing its part. And this explains his reluctance to permit the extension of this enrollment of widows to cover younger widows. Verse 11. Refuse, Paul writes, to enroll younger widows. Why? Because if they have a change of mind and decide to marry, some in the Ephesus church might become unsettled, seeing a widow fall away from her original commitment to her work in the church. There seems also to have been a pledge, verse 12, to remain a widow and not remarry, in the sense that the widow says, look, I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to work in the church and I'm not going to remarry. If she switches after a year or two, then it's not going to encourage people, is it? Violation of this pledge would not encourage others, and Paul feels, therefore, that it would be better to keep to widows of over 60 who are unlikely to remarry because of their age. Further, widows who are, verse 13, idlers, gossips, busybodies, are not to be enrolled. Anyway, they'd be too busy gossiping. Younger widows are exhorted, verse 14, to remarry and have children, as the most natural and obvious thing to do. Verse 15. And not stray into immorality. Again, this idea of them going and living in the man or becoming a prostitute, as seems to have happened in Ephesus. But Paul concludes by reminding Timothy that, verse 16, only real widows should be assisted financially by the church, and only then if they don't have relatives to support them. It may seem strange that Paul, in his letter to Timothy, should concentrate on widows. You may think so, but the more that you look at it, you see how right he is. And if you think about our church today, you will know how right he is and how applicable this is to our church. When I came along for the 8 o'clock service this morning, at about 20 to 8, the first person I saw in the church was not Brian, but a widow. And what was she doing? She was going to the grave of her husband and putting a beautiful flower on that grave. Then she went to where his ashes were interred, and she put a beautiful flower there as well. And I very much thought, yes, the Lord is saying to me how important widows are in the church, because this person, who will remain unnamed, is the most marvelous Christian and does more for other people than many of us. If there were to be some sort of order for enrollment to widows over 60 at All Saints and St. Richard's, would there not be many, and I believe there would, who would qualify? Verse 10, those who have brought up children, shown hospitality, served, helped the needy, devoted themselves to doing good. Verse 5, back again, set their hope on God and continued in supplication and prayers. What would we do without the supplications and prayers of widows in the church, of women in the church? I think the church would fall apart. They are absolutely vital and wonderful. If the answer is yes, which I really say yes, it must be, then whether we in the church support them financially or not, we are at least, going right back to verse 3, which is terribly important, the first word, we are at least to honour widows of whatever age, and all women, and also women who have been deserted by their husbands, or for some reason or other are on their own now and single. The point is that Paul exhorts Timothy to apply the virtues of Christian living. It's the sort of way Christ would react within our church fellowship. He applies the virtues of this Christian living to his dealings with the church at Ephesus. We have seen this over the past week. Therefore, just as at Ephesus, so at All Saints, we apply Paul's words to our dealings with widows. Let's suppose that among our congregation there lives an elderly couple. There are lots of them. I'm even beginning to get rather elderly myself. It's a terrible thought. Their one girl has left home, only one in the family. The couple, both Christian, have a modest house and live satisfactorily on their joint pension. from their spare cash. They are so generous, just like that widow I talked about. They've given to the Faith in the Future project. A year or two later, the husband's health deteriorates, and within another year, he dies, leaving his wife a widow and desolate. Because they had not fully understood the complication of the husband's pension, the wife is left without sufficient income upon which to live, and their daughter is a single mother and lives on income support. As a church, we would be required to honor this widow in every way by, yes, repaying to her the faith in the future gift that she had given when she had sufficient money, and even to top it up and to look after her and to make sure that in her widowhood she was cared for by the church. I agree this is a special case, but it could happen. Within All Saints, apply verse 3, honor all widows who are real widows, and think to what extent our ministry in the church is maybe directed at newcomers, at young marrieds, at people who are much younger, and realize we must direct it as well to more elderly people, to people over 50, to widows in the church, to women on their own. The question for us is, are we a properly balanced church? Because that's what Paul's epistle to Timothy is about. It's about balance. Are we a properly balanced church? Or do we, and maybe some of us do and some of us don't, do we ignore the elderly, not care for them as much as we should, to include our widows, who, as we know, must certainly fulfill the requirements of verse 5 and verse 10? We don't actually have a group for widows, but we do have groups which center on more elderly people, and we give thanks for Alan Tate and his ministry to senior citizens. May his work, may his ministry from God, be a signpost to us that we mustn't forget the widows in our church, the elderly people in our church, the women in our church. And within our own families, we need to be challenged tonight. Are we looking after them, supporting them properly? Within the church, we keep our eyes open for any widow who needs help, not just financial, but emotional. Think about a woman living on her own. It's tough. It's really tough. And many people will tell you that if you ask them. Widows, people deserted. Being bereaved years after your husband's death can still create a burden. Don't think that the loss of your loved one goes overnight. It can take years, probably to the time you die, you miss that person. We've got to look after these people and care for them. Life as an elderly widow or deserted wife is tough and lonely, and we need to have the guts not to forget them. Looking at this passage from another viewpoint, what Paul is saying about real widows could be looked at in this way. Now, I'm going to just quote from Proverbs about a wife. A good wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Right. Marvelous. That's about a married woman. And that night, her husband dies. Do we take the words away? It's the same woman. And we should look at them and look after them and realize that now elderly, her children having left home, she needs our love, our support, our encouragement. Perhaps some of us need to change our attitude to widows and women on their own in the church, other elderly women, and learn to respect them more, to honor them more, to be there for them, especially in their loneliness. I seem to have quite a number of elderly relations myself, and the story in my family is of two aunts of mine. I believe they were both widows, and I'm giving you this story to remind you that elderly people are useful right to the end of their lives. They're always useful to help somebody else. These two widows were 102, and 103. It's not bad going, is it? Somebody wanted to visit this aunt of mine of 103 and asked whether the day would be convenient. She said, "Sorry, that day won't do at all. I'm visiting my sister because she's not feeling very well today." I think it's marvellous, but it does tell us, doesn't it, that the widows, elderly people, right to the end can do things. They have a ministry from God. We mustn't forget that. We can all be used by God to the day we die. Widows are entitled to our respect because they are committed to Christ and prayerful, because they have brought up children often, shown hospitality, served others, spent their whole lives in doing good and helping other people. Their evening of their lives can be a time for a brand new ministry. There's no possible reason why elderly people shouldn't start again. Look at Alan Tate. Look what he's doing. It's wonderful. Don't forget this, and also our own elderly relatives, especially our parents. Not to support them is to show, quite simply, lack of faith and fail to act as Christians. Leaders of house groups, remember within your group the elderly among you. Don't forget them. It's a great responsibility on a house group leader to know the family history of each person in that house group and know when their problems, whether they're lonely, whether they've been ill, and be prepared to go and visit them and help them and minister to them, and especially widows. Remember the emphasis of this passage on women is important, and I think it applies very much in the church today where we need to honor women. Too often the church fails to give women in the church their due. I heard a story last week which absolutely shocked me. It was about a lady called Sister Lavinia Byrne, who is a wonderful Christian. She talks on 5 to 8 sometimes in the morning. And she wrote a book. Maybe the book didn't please the particular denomination. But what they did was to collect all her books. And in a monastery, the monks put the books in an incinerator and burnt them one by one. Now, I'm telling you that story because that is a lack of respect, a lack of honor. And it really upset me and made me very, very cross about it. And we need to realize that the first word in our passage tonight, honor, is something that is vital. And we need to honor widows. We need to honor those people who are living on their own. We need to honor those who have been divorced. We need to honor women generally. And that maybe applies most of all to us men. We have a lot to learn. Amen.